Good Sunday morning and welcome to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. I'm your host, Larry Vetter, and today I'm joined by Dr. Rob Thompson, Director of the Performing Arts and Theater at Chesapeake College. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing? Can I call you Rob or do I need to call you Doctor?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Rob is fine. All right, Dr. Thompson is a little formal.
Okay, good. I wanted to keep that way. I have to say, before we really get into talking about your background, I love having people come here from Chesapeake College because Chesapeake College sort of reminds me of a New York City diner. And by, what I mean by that is when you go into a New York City diner, it doesn't matter what time of day or night you go there, because they're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can get whatever you want. So if you feel like at 8 o'clock at night you want pancakes and scrambled eggs, you got it. At 5 o'clock in the morning, if you want to have twin lobsters and a steak, they're going to ask you how you want your steak done. So that's what Chesapeake College reminds me of, because it seems like whatever it is that you want to learn, it's there. If you want to be a performing artist, it's there. If you want to be a truck driver, it's there. If you want to be an astrophysicist, it's there. So you kind of like that potpourri of all sorts of things in there. And as Director of Performing Arts, we're going to find out exactly what it is that you do. So let's start out with your background. You're fairly new at the college, right?
Well, this is my 10th year as professor at the college. Okay. I've been teaching there since 2014, but this is my fourth month running the Performing Arts Center.
Is that solely what you do now, or you do both?
I do both, yeah. I continue to teach, but my teaching load is much lighter so that I can focus on the arts and the community.
And typically, what types of classes do you teach?
Well, I am the sole theater guy, so I had to come in as a jack of all trades. I do the acting classes, I do the directing, I do some improvisation classes. Students learn how to create sketches and develop their own stories, and then I do all the academic classes. So I do the intro class for students who are not planning to pursue the career, but are interested in just theater generally. They're trying to get their arts credit. And then I do the specific classes for the arts majors and the academics, the Western theater, and I do a course on world theater. So that covers a lot of the way humans perform in the wide world.
Oh, it sounds like an interesting class. So if somebody was interested in becoming an actor, they could go through your classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have, there's two directions students go from me. I've had students that go right into industry. So one of my students, Erin, she graduated and went down to Disney World, and she began performing right away with the two-year degree. Some students go to College Park. I had a student who went down to Florida and studied video game design and went off to the West Coast to do that. The students do go in all directions from the program. But we think pretty broadly about what that theater degree can do, because, you know, acting, honestly, is a career that you pursue generally in your 20s, and then after that, it's tough to continue to be a professional actor. I mean, in the real world, not if you're like, you know, big Hollywood celebrity, but regular people, because when you get to be 30, you start thinking about having a family, and it's tough to be an actor and be traveling and be living from job to job. So practically, students have to think about not just that immediate artistic career, but how they can transition that into something that's more sustainable. So that may be in theme parks, that may be in game design, that may be in arts management. There's so many things that they can get into, and they do. So I encourage all of that in my students, and we want to give them a nice big broad background so that they can create a life in the arts, not just, you know, get through 5 or 6 years while they're young enjoying it.
Right. Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because I've known people that decided they wanted to become an actor or an actress over the years, and it seems like there's one of two destinations. They either run to New York to try to be on Broadway, or they run to L.A. to try and be in films, and that's basically it. I never heard of anybody say, I'm going to run to Chesapeake College, because it looks like the place to go to become an actor. It's usually one of the other two.
But it's dangerous to go to, L.A. and New York are so expensive, so my students, I encourage them to think about the D.C. market, which is one of the top markets in theater in the country. Chicago, LA, New York, and DC. DC's got about 60 different houses operating theater. So, yeah, you're right. People do think, I got to go to New York, I got to go to LA, but that's actually not the best idea unless you're independently wealthy and can afford the real estate. the rent when you get there.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of what you said makes a lot of sense, because the thing is that it's almost, I kind of liken it to sports. You know, you look at, everybody wants to be a baseball player. Every kid I ever knew, every boy I ever knew wanted to be a professional baseball player. And I grew up in New York, so everybody wanted to be a New York Yankee. So everybody thought that, well, if I play a little bit of baseball now, I got a good shot at being on the Yankees. Well, it turns out that, you know, the Yankees only have 25 players that show up on a daily basis. And you better be pretty good before you get to be a Yankee.
Yeah.
However,
yeah,
there are a lot of other jobs that you can do in the sports world that may not necessarily be the ideal one. That, you know, maybe you want to be the shortstop, but instead of the guy working in the upper office. But you sometimes, at least, you know, you have a job when you're in the upper office. And acting strikes me like the same, that there are a lot of positions behind the scenes. Back when you look at the credits of every movie, there may be four or five stars in the movie, but boy, oh boy, there are a lot of names that are running across the screen of people working in the background, and there's a lot more of them than there are stars.
Yep, and they're making regular pay too, and they're making art every day, and that's what matters. That's the dream. You want to be able to make that art every day, not worry too much about who's congratulating you for it.
Right, exactly. So it's interesting when you say you teach these different types of courses. So, you know, I think of, there's a couple of TV shows on, I believe, that have you know, instructors. I think Michael Douglas was in one of them, I believe, where he's an acting coach, and Henry Winkler, I think, is one of, as well too, in another show where he's an acting coach as well too.
Regular, yeah, the guy's an assassin or something, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, the other fellow's the assassin's taking his class. I mean, well, hopefully you don't have too many of those in your classes.
Not that they've confessed to me. I mean, if I were an assassin, I don't think I'd tell anybody, but yeah.
No, you definitely do want to keep that a little bit quiet. But no, it's interesting, because when you think about it, acting is kind of a combination of a lot of different things, and I think that probably communications is probably one of your more important aspects that you teach.
Yes. My students, for the most part, they finish in a transfer degree in liberal arts, and they do a certificate in theater, which organizes all their electives around my courses. And they say, Rob, what do I do with the certificate? And honestly, nobody's looking for the certificate. But when you get to that resume, you put that certificate on there, and the employer says, oh, you're comfortable talking to people, I can tell, because you've been doing all this theater stuff. It's the way to show that you have this skill set, which, you know, this day and age is increasingly hard to find with the kids and the phones and all this stuff. I don't want to sound like I'm 100 years old, but they are having a harder and harder time looking people in the eye and having a conversation and speaking up, because they're so used to communicating without opening your mouth. But still, in the world, in a hospital, in a customer service setting, and, you know, you name it, we're looking for people to look us in the eye and make us feel better, or make us feel like we're being heard, or you know, take the lead. So the theater student has an advantage in that regard, for sure.
Yeah, there's no question about it that communication seems to be a lost art. And being able to get your ideas across, too. I mean, I know people that can communicate, and they'll sit there and they'll talk to me, and I'll walk away from it scratching my head saying, now, what are they just trying to tell me? I don't quite understand that. You know, so communications, because it'll carry, you think of it as part of the acting career, but it'll carry in any field.
Sure. Yep.
So there's nothing wrong with learning that. So a lot of the students that you have in there then would take this, and they could go almost anywhere. They can go almost any different types of industry. Every industry is going to have some sort of advertising and communications that they need to do. And I would imagine there's some writing skills that are involved in your courses too, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Who knows where that's going these days? But yes, I still think it's important to know how to write and formulate ideas and that kind of thing. I value that. And I do think people will continue to value that going forward. It's that critical thought and creative thought, right? That the computers are never going to, I don't want to say never, but I don't think they're going to figure it out. And, you know, people in my profession, we don't really like AI. A lot of people are excited about AI, but we're not excited about AI because we look at it as a giant plagiarism, a copyright violation. So in the arts, we tend to think, I mean, and we tend to say, and we say it all the time, that AI is just, you know, the computers are mashing up everything that exists, but they're not creating anything new. That's up to us. That's the human potential. And that's in any field. So I do think that what I'm doing with the theater students, who are not all planning to be theater professionals, even the ones in the serious theater courses, is cultivating that creativity that they can then apply in whatever field they enter.
Right, and you prefaced it before when you said something, you're a, sort of a liberal arts type of a degree, and mm-hmm. I always think of liberal arts, I mean, I know today the term liberal arts is sort of looked down on, and people aren't quite as excited about liberal arts anymore, but I always thought of that as you learn to think with liberal arts, you know, and then when you get a specific degree, you learn what to think. And today, in a lot of the classes, is you learn how to look it up. You know, so and I think the liberal arts part is probably very critical, and that thinking aspect of it for both communications orally and communications writing-wise, I think it's critical.
Yeah, we have access to this huge digital library of information, right? But nobody knows what to do with it until they apply that critical thought, until they're able to find what's important and sift it out from everything else that's out there, because you can access almost anything, right? And then do something with it. That's what the liberal arts provide. Yeah, you're right. The liberal arts we're down on our butts these days. But we can get up. I think that we're going to have a resurgence of a need for people with the liberal arts style skills, just because of the way technology is moving and pushing out these sort of like rote skills and privileging caring and communication and creativity.
Okay, we're going to take a short break right now. You're listening to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. We'll be right back.
At Compass Regional Hospice, we understand that a serious illness diagnosis affects all aspects of life for both the patient and the caregiver. Our comprehensive team approach to in-home care adds the support you need to maintain the highest quality of life. If you're struggling to find the balance of medical and emotional support, let our care system of nurses, social workers, and volunteers work for you. Call 443-262-4100 to see how Compass Regional Hospice can bring comfort and compassion to your family.
Prince Limousine is the area's premier service for all your transportation needs. Since 1994, they've provided prompt and professional service for all your live events. They can provide transportation for weddings, bachelor and bachelorette parties, birthdays, company events, event shuttle service, and airport and cruise terminal transportation. You just plan your event and leave the driving to Prince Limousine. Family owned and operated, call them at 410-778-4860 or visit PrinceLimoMD.com. Ride like royalty with Prince Limousine.
Prince Limousine celebrating 30 years in business.
At Heron Point of Chestertown, living Riverside isn't the most alluring aspect of your retirement lifestyle. It's the security you get with Axe Life Care. Having the retirement you always planned for. Take off for new adventures, meet fascinating residents, and find out how much easier, more enjoyable, and more secure life can be. Your long-term care is prearranged and guaranteed. Your nest egg is protected. Discover retirement living at Heron Point. Call us to learn more, 877-380-1360, or visit axeheronpoint.org.
Chester River Pharmacy is your hometown pharmacy. When you walk through the door, you're greeted by a team of professionals who will offer sound medical advice for all your health concerns. They offer professional-grade multivitamins, nutritional supplements, and prescriptions and medical supplies. Plus, all insurances are accepted. Chester River Pharmacy, where your health comes first. Visit us online at chesterriverpharmacy.com or call us at 410-810-3600.
Welcome back to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. I'm your host, Larry Vedder. My guest this morning is Dr. Rob Thompson, Director of Performing Arts and Theater at Chesapeake College. And in the first section, Rob, we were talking a lot about your background and some of the things that you do on a daily basis in your full-time part of the career where you're a teacher. But now I understand that you also have taken on a new role as Director of the Performing Arts. And I know that Chesapeake College does have a theater, and I do know that the theater was closed for some time, primarily due to COVID, but then, like in many aspects after COVID, it took a little while to get things back up and operating again. Does it sound about right?
Yeah, that is right. I want to call out Dick Peterson, who was my predecessor at the Performing Arts Center. He was brilliant. He ran the place for 20 years, and he started running the place in the 2000s, and he just did a tremendous job creating an institution on the shore that people look to for the arts. In a, you know, the thing about the Todd Center is that it's right in the middle of, it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's centrally located everywhere. Mm. So, I mean, on the Eastern Shore, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it has that drawback, but also that benefit. If we can just talk people into making that drive, it's going to be worth it if we can create the programming. So Dick Peterson did a tremendous job of that. And then during the pandemic, the center was completely shut down. So he retired because that made sense. I don't know that he would have retired, but for the pandemic, I think he would have continued on a little while longer. But, you know, he couldn't get paid. There was no money coming in. The theater was completely closed, and that happened across the country. So when we came back from the pandemic, it took us a while to figure out what to do with the center. It took the college a while, I should say. I'm not, that's above my pay grade to make those kinds of decisions, but ultimately they came to me and they said, Rob, do you think you have some ideas about how you could run the place? And I said, yeah, I think I can step in. And I've taken on an assistant. Savannah Verrett is our new production manager, and she was a student of mine my very first year at the college. So 10 years ago, I met Savannah, and she went on and got her bachelor's degree and has directed and done all kinds of wonderful things out in the world. And now she's come back home to help me create something at this space. She's running all the technical aspects of the shows for me while I, you know, try to bring in new artists and do all the things that a director does at the center. So yeah, the pandemic, it sort of wiped the slate clean for a lot of arts organizations, but particularly at the Todd Center, because just nothing happened for years.
Yeah.
So you can't go back, and I can't, you know, go to Dick Peterson's playbook and say, oh, I'm just going to do the same things Dick did, because it's a new world. We're in a new world, and we're also responding to an audience that has been changed by the pandemic. People are less inclined to... I say this with love, but put a pair of pants on and walk out the door. It's harder and harder to get to convince people that this is a worthwhile thing to do. I have the same problem with my students. We have more students online now post-pandemic than we had pre-pandemic. And, you know, all these colleges are offering these online courses. And Chesapeake, I understand my bosses don't have a choice because that's where the student wants to be. But they lose a lot through not putting their pants on and coming into class, you know? They lose that face-to-face experience. There's something about being in the room with somebody. It's special. It's a special exchange. So my focus in you know, restarting the center is in creating those intimate, special exchanges with an audience that are rooted in the culture of the Chesapeake Bay, number one, and number two, are creating a community around the people who take the time to come to the center. They're taking a chance. They're taking time out of their day. They're taking a drive. And they're paying a little bit. We don't want to charge too much for the tickets. You know, we want to make it accessible. But it's really about the time more than the ticket money. And we want to honor that commitment by making the Todd Center feel like a new, like a home away from home, like a place you want to go to spend time, to hang out. And so that's going to require a new kind of programming that's not built around big, you know, special shows. We'll do some of those. But I really want to focus on creating monthly events that are allowing people to come out every Thursday night. What are we doing? Well, it's Thursday night. Let's go to the Todd, see what they got going on. They're going to show a movie. They're going to do board games in the lobby. They're going to do a cabaret, and the college students are going to sing, and you know, they're going to do comedy night. That's the kind of programming I'm interested in, because that's, I think, what the Shore needs, and it's what the Shore deserves. It's a unique culture, and it needs to be given some space to breathe and grow and express. So that's the goal I'm tending toward.
Wow, I'm excited already about it. It sounds great. Are you up and operating right now, or are you still?
We are.
Okay, so
we hit the ground running. Yeah, not to the degree that I'm talking. This is next year, but right now we have had two cabarets. We've had our first games night was last month, and we have another. We just finished our second games night, and We have a Petrine Orchestra we just did on Saturday. That was a band from Annapolis, and they performed ragtime music, classical 1890s, 1900 ragtime music, while silent movies played. Harold Lloyd and Charlie Chaplin. Oh. So sort of like with the Baltimore Symphony is going in this direction as well. But it's fun. It's a fun, family-friendly kind of event. We're doing stuff, but really laying out a whole. I'm looking forward to next year when I can put all my ideas on the table and lay out a full year of programming.
Well, you got me intrigued already. So I want to ask you, what is define what the game night is? What do you do?
So, I mean, I got to be honest. That's a little bit over my head. I didn't come up playing board games the way some of my theater kids have. But Savannah really got this together, and it's with Central Gaming in Centerville. Central Gaming Dan runs a shop where they sell. People are really into board games, and I'm excited about it. I don't understand. I'll be honest, but I'm excited about it because it's the same thing we're talking about here with the arts, but in game form, right? It's about people gathering around a table and actually, looking at each other's faces and interacting with each other. And I mean, that's what we're missing. That's what's exciting. That's what's exciting to get back. I think that's what people are craving. So Dan, there's all these companies that create these brand new games, these board games all the time. There's new board games coming out, like, comic books sort of, like they're constantly cranking out new games. So we had Wormspan was the name of the game. He did a debut of this game at the Todd Center, and people came and played the game, and there were people playing Dungeons and Dragons and people playing other games. The history professor, John Haas, was there playing some history games, and everyone was just having a good time. And that's what it's all about. If we have this building, let's not let it sit empty. Let's make it a community space.
So am I correct when I think that you have a bunch of tables set up all over the place, and you have a Parcheesi board on one table, a Monopoly board on another, and you kind of wander around. If there's an open seat, you grab it and you start playing Parcheesi?
Exactly right. People, there's no rule. People are joining each other, making friends. If you come to our people and you're like, could you start a game over here? My students, my staff will come and start a game. We'll just get going. We'll make it happen. Yeah, it's a place to meet people. It's a place to make friends. The place to bring your friends and meet other people's friends.
Oh, sounds like something I can handle because I'm used to the Parcheesi boards and checkerboards and that sort of thing. Usually when my son, who's an adult now, says, hey, Dad, you want to play a game? He pulls out a video game and immediately starts shooting my character into a million pieces while I'm trying to figure out how to handle the operator. So Parcheesi I'm comfortable with. Some of these other games I get a little bit beat up on.
Yeah, these are a little more slower paced. Yeah, that's true.
It sounds great. As you mentioned, when you were talking, that you want to have something like this every Thursday night, so it would be something a little bit different each time. So maybe mm-hmm. one Thursday you watch a modern film, another Thursday you play a game, another Thursday you watch a film from the 40s. So yeah. It's just a potpourri, a whole different group of different things that you could possibly have.
Yep, exactly right. Mixed in with the live arts, we want to be able to do just live engagements with the culture, live, fun, engaging activities. The movies we're excited about because we have these ideas. We're working with Bruce Grove at Queen Anne's County TV, developing a few film festivals and things. But him and Chris pitched us this idea of interactive movies. So you go to Rocky Horror and you know, there's certain moments in Rocky Horror. Apparently, you can do this with any movie if you think it through. So we're coming up with a collection of movies where we can add these interactive moments. But big popular movies, Ghostbusters, Gremlins, that kind of thing. Movies where people are already familiar with them and they haven't had a chance to see them in a big space with an audience, and we'll just add a little bit of this potpourri of fun to the mix, but just getting people to play. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Now, I would imagine your students hear firsthand all of these things that are coming up in there, but how does the public find out what's going on a regular basis?
So we do, the college just posts to our website, chesapeake.edu, keeps folks updated. Also, we have a flyer that is going to be going out. We did have a flyer go out this semester and I want to say February, but every semester the plan is, marketing has told me, we are going to be putting out a brochure to the community to let you know what we have coming. So check your mail. It's on the way.
Okay, so you can almost become like a member or sign up on it where you get regular newsletters or whatever else that's going to be coming out. Well, I guess that's in the works right now.
We can do that. I mean, right now, my understanding is if you live on the shore, we will send you a brochure. If you're in our five counties, we will send a brochure your way for the most part. But yes, we will also develop memberships and all that kind of good stuff as well.
All right, we're going to take a short break again. But first, I'd like to thank my sponsors, Heron Point, Chester River Pharmacy, Compass Regional Hospice, and Prince Limousine. You're listening to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. We'll be right back.
Chester River Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, offers professional-grade multivitamins, nutritional supplements, medical supplies for all your medical needs, sound medical advice from people you trust, and all insurances are accepted. In addition, the expanded store carries a wide variety of gift items, including toys and gifts from the Eastern Shore. The staff is ready to help with your needs because at Chester River Pharmacy, you're treated like family. Chester River Pharmacy, where your health comes first. Visit them online at chesterriverpharmacy.com or call 410-810-3600.
Prince Limousine is the area's premier service for all your transportation needs. Since 1994, they've provided prompt and professional service for all your live events. They can provide transportation for weddings, bachelor and bachelorette parties, birthdays, company events, event shuttle service, and airport and cruise terminal transportation. You just plan your event and leave the driving to Prince Limousine. Family owned and operated, call them at 410-778-4860 or visit PrinceLimoMD.com. Ride like royalty with Prince Limousine.
Prince Limousine celebrating 30 years in business.
At Heron Point of Chestertown, living Riverside isn't the most alluring aspect of your retirement lifestyle. It's the security you get with Axe Life Care. Having the retirement you always planned for. Take off for new adventures, meet fascinating residents, and find out how much easier, more enjoyable, and more secure life can be. Your long-term care is prearranged and guaranteed. Your nest egg is protected. Discover retirement living at Heron Point. Call us to learn more, 877-380-1360, or visit axeheronpoint.org.
At Compass Regional Hospice, we understand that a serious illness diagnosis affects all aspects of life for both the patient and the caregiver. Our comprehensive team approach to in-home care adds the support you need to maintain the highest quality of life. If you're struggling to find the balance of medical and emotional support, let our care system of nurses, social workers, and volunteers work for you. Call 443-262-4100 to see how Compass Regional Hospice can bring comfort and compassion to your family.
Mostly sunny for today with a high near 80, mostly clear, low 60s tonight, then mostly sunny tomorrow near 85. Tuesday, more sun, 80 to 85, and mostly sunny around 80 on Wednesday. From the Maryland Weather Center, this is meteorologist Bill Jacquemin. Details on the WCTR forecast, as well as local news and community events online at WCTR.com, serving Kent and Queen Anne's counties for 60 years and counting.
Welcome back to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. I'm your host, Larry Vetter. My guest this morning is Dr. Rob Thompson, Director of Performing Arts and Theater at Chesapeake College. And Rob, we talked about your background, and we talked about sort of the renaissance of the theater, which was closed for quite some time. And when we were talking before, you were saying that the theater just was a certain, I guess it sort of had a certain image and a certain type of play and certain things that went on in the past, and now you have to sort of rethink that a little bit as you go on there. So what are some of the differences that you notice? You know, like, what did the theater focus on pre-pandemic, and what do you hope to focus on now?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say there's a lot of good things happened pre-pandemic that need to come back. Children's theater, for example, I think is invaluable. It's such an important thing that we need to get back to, and that we're going to get back to next year with the holiday show, and we're doing another piece in the spring. That's important because the future, right, is in children's theater. If you can't get a kid excited about the arts at 4 and 5 and 6 years old, there's no prayer by the time they're 16, 17, and 18 years old, and then you've just lost a generation, which is so important to our community because there aren't a lot of, we have a lot of community theater out on the Eastern Shore, but not a lot of professional theater. So developing the Todd Center as a space for independent professional art and new artists and exposing, you know, younger audiences to theater and to performance and to music is just so key. Even Linda Zaragoza ran the Children's Theater before the pandemic, and Linda was very interested in just teaching a younger generation how to be an audience. You know, that's not something these kids really know how to do, how to sit and watch and clap at the right moments and know when it's okay to laugh and when it's not okay to make noise. And that's a social skill that you can't really learn sitting in elementary school. You have to learn that by coming into a live theater and having that experience. And if you can do it, if you can get good at it and you develop a taste for it, oh my goodness, your life is so much richer for it. But if you don't, what a loss, not only for that individual, but for all of us. So anyway, children's theater needs to come back. I'm very passionate about that. Before I started at Chesapeake, I ran a theater up in New Jersey where we did a lot of teaching. We toured around and did adult productions, but back at home we ran theater camps and all that sort of stuff, and that's so essential. And right now we've started a Tuesday night workshop for all ages, so children all the way up to adults come, and anyone can come and make theater with us and improvise and make sketches. And then when cabaret nights come, you perform for whatever audience shows up for that. Getting people engaged in the making of art. I mean, the idea that there are boundaries or you know, blocks or whatever between you and making art, if that's what you want to do, that upsets me. I don't think it should be that way. So we want to create that open bridge. Anyhow, but back to your questions. The arts before, it was a lot of touring artists would come in, which is good. Almost like a vaudeville flavor a little bit. There was a woman who did a Harriet Tubman show, and there would be, you know, solo comedy artists, and Dick would actually produce some of his own productions. He did a wonderful Patsy Cline show with the sort of legacy music, and the legacy music is important, and I do think that should come back. We call it dad rock these days, right? I don't think that's fair. It's just rock. But the legacy music, I think, has a place at the Todd. I don't know that anything that used to happen doesn't have a place anymore. I think that we just need to be doing more variety of different things to create that community to address the way the arts have changed. I mean, some things have definitely shifted and are in the process of shifting, and we can see it changing. The fine arts as a high art, let me say it that way, because the fine arts, right, theater, music, dance, they're the fine arts, and we're in that club, and that's cool. But when we think about the fine arts as high art, and by that I mean, you know, something that needs to be expensive and that you need to wear a tie for, and that's a little bit boring but is good for you, that's not the healthiest attitude. It cultivates an audience of retired people, which is fine, but doesn't reach the rest of the population. And everybody, I think, needs these live experiences now. So we will continue to be a home for the high arts, and we are continuing to bring in high art acts. We just need to mix that in with an audience, you know, a kind of entertainment, as we're talking about movies and game nights, that broaden that audience out and cultivate an interest in people in being together and creating together and sharing and experiencing something that moves them in a live space together.
Okay. Now, you have the kids that are taking your acting classes and your communications classes and that sort of thing. Now, do they actually put together a production that you would put on the Todd?
Yes. We actually have two theaters. We have a 100-seat Cadby Theater and the Todd Center. And when I took on this position, I basically took on the running of the arts in both locations. So we actually have we just had a community theater festival this past weekend. It was a community theater festival. It was a competition for all community theaters across the four or five states. So we are an appealing destination in that way. Our venues are unique. They're as I said, centrally located for a variety of people, not just in, you know, the five county area, but of the Mid Shore, but also thinking about like Delaware and Pennsylvania and Virginia, like we're sort of right in the middle of all that. So we're conveniently located in that way. So what was I telling you?
We were talking about the actual performances that
the kids do. I got off track onto the venues because I do love both of our venues. The Cadby Theater is such a special place. People come into our little 100 seat theater and they're like, oh, this is so cool. But that's where I tend to do the college shows because my college kids, this is like a show of 15 to 25 students, and they bring in the audiences, don't get me wrong, but it feels good in a 100 seat house to fill that up, and it creates the right atmosphere for that kind of work. We will come over and do stuff in the Todd Center, which is, you know, the Todd Center is a 900 plus seat venue. It's enormous. It's enormous by even like city standards.
Right.
It's a big place. Yeah. So I don't like, if I can avoid it, to create an experience where people feel like, oh, there's all these empty seats.
Right. Yeah, you don't want all those echoes around.
Right. So they have been participating in our cabarets, though, which we've been doing on the lobby, and we've actually repurposed the stage so that we have audiences sitting on stage with the actors. So we just, you know, ditch the whole 900-seat house, and you go right on stage, and we see 50 to 100 people on stage because it's such an enormous stage that you can fit all these people on the stage with the actors. So there's a few different ways we're doing this. And then our murder mystery coming up in a couple of weeks, we're actually having the audience move through the whole space. So you come into the lobby and the performance starts there, but then you can go anywhere in the theater and you'll find actors, you know, laying out the plot of the, you know, the murderer and all that sort of game solving stuff that goes on in a murder mystery. So it's just thinking creatively about the space and a festival. There's another way we're trying to make use of the space.
Now,
using it, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. The murder mystery you were talking about, is that put on by the students, or is that put on by a professional troupe?
It is. The answer is yes. So I have a crew of five folks who are, I think, mostly alumni, have gone on, got their degrees in theater. Savannah's sort of leading that ensemble, and they are leading the development of our children's theater and also the leading the development of these kinds of productions. But then for things like murder mystery, we need a larger cast, so we'll draw on the students, and it becomes this extra educational experience for them to learn how not only to do my kind of, like, you know, classical Shakespeare and all that sort of stuff I want them to learn for college reasons, but also to do something that's fun and interactive for an audience. So we're also, in October, this will be the third year now, we're doing our Harvest Horror, and that's a Halloween immersive storytelling experience we do out in the cornfield. We have to plant the cornfield, but then there is a cornfield, and then we go out and we haunt it, and that is the same situation. We have our crew of experienced actors, trained actors, who come in and lead the students in developing a story, and that story is, you know, all over the field, and this year the audience is going to be able to, we've been doing guided tours, but this year we're going to let the audience guide their own tour of the encounter. And it's, you know, what's important to me, like, particularly with Harvest Horror, you can make the comparison between Harvest Horror and something like Devil's Playground. I want the students to be storytelling. I want them to be acting. It's not just about putting on a costume and jumping out. It's, who are you? Where do you come from? What do you have to tell this audience? How are you going to spook them in a way that is in their heads, not just, you know, like my two-year-old can jump out around a corner and say, right, boo. Let's really create an environment for people. So in those two settings, that's what we're up to.
So the creative aspect is actually created by the students themselves. So they're essentially writing whatever script it is that they're going to perform with.
I am most excited about the opportunity to use the Todd to give them more real-world experience with independent artists creating something for people that has got to entertain them. Some of our projects will be just my core group of alumni and trained artists, but in these broader projects, they've got to get in there, and, you know, we have the benefit of having, you know, 20 students who are excited about performing. How can we best use their talents in a way that won't, you know, strain them or you know, create a situation where the performance isn't enjoyable for the audience, but also, you know, allow them to benefit from the pressure of having to entertain, not just you know, at the, you know, a high school performance where everybody's going to love it, right? Because
mom and dad are watching it.
Right. And that's fine. It's good. I love high school theater because it feeds us and it feeds the community, gets kids excited about art. But nobody boos a high school show. That'd be horrible. The college show is, in a certain extent, largely like that too. Yes, we do get community members who come and see our college shows because, you know, we do plays that, you know, Shakespeare you don't get to see very often. But in these settings with the Todd, people are coming to be entertained. Their expectation is not that this is, you know, you're their child. This is not their kid. This is, you know, we're selling tickets to this. So
right.
I love that pressure for them because that's what the real world is. And if they were in LA, they might be 17, 18 years old. And we go to see movies that feature 18 to 19 year olds all the time.
Oh, sure.
So it's not like they're too young for it.
Well, all right. We're going to take a short break again. You're listening to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. We'll be right back.
At Compass Regional Hospice, we understand that a serious illness diagnosis affects all aspects of life for both the patient and the caregiver. Our comprehensive team approach to in-home care adds the support you need to maintain the highest quality of life. If you're struggling to find the balance of medical and emotional support, let our care system of nurses, social workers, and volunteers work for you. Call 443-262-4100 to see how Compass Regional Hospice can bring comfort and compassion to your family.
Prince Limousine is the area's premier service for all your transportation needs. Since 1994, they've provided prompt and professional service for all your live events. They can provide transportation for weddings, bachelor and bachelorette parties, birthdays, company events, event shuttle service, and airport and cruise terminal transportation. You just plan your event and leave the driving to Prince Limousine. Family owned and operated, call them at 410-778-4860 or visit PrinceLimoMD.com. Ride like royalty with Prince Limousine.
Prince Limousine celebrating 30 years in business.
When it comes to disease prevention, immunizations are key. Getting vaccinated protects you and those around you. Chester River Pharmacy offers a wide range of vaccinations, including flu vaccines, measles vaccine, shingles vaccine, and COVID-19 vaccines. Our highly qualified staff can administer vaccines right here in the pharmacy. We offer convenient hours, so you can easily keep up to date on your immunizations. Call us today at 410-810-3600 and schedule your appointment today.
Welcome back to My Generation on 106.9 WCTR. I'm your host, Larry Vetter. My guest this morning is Dr. Rob Thompson, Director of Performing Arts and Theater at Chesapeake College. And Rob, we've talked about your background, and we talked about a lot about some of the acting and some of the plays and some of the things that you hope for in the last section. But I know you referred a couple of times to cabaret nights. So I'm curious what that means, because cabaret nights, it almost sounds like it's like an open mic night.
Yes. You know, it hasn't gotten to that, I'll be honest. We have been cultivating all the performances. However, you are correct. And if you're listening out there and you're excited about the prospect of being able to share a song or anything really with us, I mean, as long as it's PG-13, we welcome folks to come in and participate in the cabaret. We guarantee an hour of entertainment because we, like I said, we have this troupe that's meeting on Tuesday nights that's all ages, and you are also anyone is welcome to join that. Beginning in September, we'll be back and be doing that every Tuesday night. And those folks are developing sketch comedy and different routines and stuff. And then we have a group of students who are doing a lot of music. And the students are incredible, very talented musicians and performers. We have one who's doing original singer-songwriter kind of things. And students who are covering different songs. And there's some dance elements as well. It's a nice mix. Like, it's what you would expect, right, when you hear the word cabaret. But we have yet to get any of that open mic action going just yet. We're seeing good audiences. People are having a good time. But I would love to see people stepping up. And it is a wide open thing. We really want the shore to be performing for the shore. That's the dream with the cabaret.
It sounds right now like the cabaret nights are sort of like the old variety shows that I used to be able to watch in the 60s. You know, the Red Skelton Hour or Ed Sullivan show.
I love Carol Burnett.
Exactly.
For the sketch comedy. She did a lot of music, too. This is strange. I watched one Carol Burnett where Cass Elliot was on, and Cass Elliot didn't sing. She just did sketch comedy, and that didn't make any sense to me. But
and then Carol Burnett sang, right?
Right, and Carol Burnett sang.
something didn't feel right here. But, okay, so Carol. Cabaret night sounds like interesting nights. And now, if I wanted to just go and watch this, I can just show up. Is there a fee to go in?
No, cabaret nights are free. Game nights are free. The movie nights, we're going to have to charge a little bit because we have to pay for the rights to the movie. But we're going to keep it all really, you know, $10 range. But cabaret nights are free. You make a donation. You buy snacks. That's how we pay for the night. And the same for games nights. You buy snacks. You make a donation. It's all good. It's a wide open thing on the Thursday nights.
All right. Now, one of the things you've repeated a couple of times in this conversation this past hour is that you mentioned that you have a 900-seat theater. Now, I know that's big for this area. It's actually pretty big even for a lot of the theaters that I used to go to in New York City.
Yeah.
So it is a large theater, but it excites me because it also seems to me like an opportunity to try and draw in some major acts. And I know we're not all that far away from some pretty good-sized cities, such as Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, even a couple of cities in Maryland. And I know that they all have a lot of acts trooping through. It could be old-time rock and roll musicians from the 60s. It could be country western groups. It could be a lot of the new younger people that are playing on a regular basis. Now, are you going to attempt to try and bring some of that into town?
Yes, that is the dream. We had a partnership with the Avalon Theater before the pandemic, and they brought in Melissa Etheridge and the band America, who are from Canada, but it's all America, isn't it? So we did have a couple of those larger legacy acts, I like to call them. And I do think there is a possibility of getting back into some of the legacy business. And the Peacherine Ragtime Orchestra is actually from Annapolis, so I'm interested in looking into some of the up-and-coming artists from Annapolis and Baltimore and even possibly D.C., get some of those. Just hear some of that new sound that might appeal to the shore audience. We also had a partnership with Bright FM. They brought in some Christian rock, so that's always a possibility as well in terms of newer artists.
Yeah, it's something that I know. I sort of miss that. It's one of the things that I do miss about New York. I don't miss a lot, especially not the traffic and all the nonsense. But I do miss some of the acts that you were able to see there. And there is some music on the Eastern Shore. There's no question about it. And there's some great little venues that we have around here. And there's some very, very talented musicians that are on there. But I do miss, as you mentioned, the legacy acts. Not much of that popping through the shore here. And I would love to see a venue being able to attract some of them, because there's plenty of them still floating around out there. I'm endlessly surprised at seeing some of these bands that used to sell out the giant stadium, sell out 65,000-70,000 seats, and now they're having a little trouble selling out 140 seats today. But but they're still interesting for me to watch. So, I guess that's a whole other aspect to work. Right? That can't possibly be an easy thing to do.
No, but I think that the goal would be, if we could get one a year, even that would be a nice grab. But there's also the possibility of bringing in cover groups and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of that, and I do know there's a lot of young bands around that may not necessarily be successful selling individual. I don't know if you even call it records anymore. It's all. Downloads, but I guess they're selling downloads. I might be difficult getting some of those on there, but there's a lot of bands that are not selling these downloads, but are very, very talented, playing some great stuff, and love to be able to see some of those at your venue for that. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if you can come up with a few of them. It'd be interesting to see. And that obviously would be available then to anybody, because for something like that, you would have to, you know, have a decent price to pay for that.
That's it. It raises our ticket price, yeah, when we have that upfront expense. Petrine's our most expensive show this semester. That show ran at $25. So it's still not
That's insane. Not outrageous, no.
Yeah, nothing at all, yeah. But for us, yeah, that's an expensive ticket.
Now, are you going to try to do some community theater in there, or are you going to leave community theater to the communities?
I do. We do want to have a nice relationship with our partners in community theater. I mean, the problem becomes that we don't want to, you know, there's a certain brand you develop, right? And there's an expectation there, so you don't want to make it confusing about what kind of show you're going to see. But we are working with some folks at Churchill right now to develop a kind of new playwright series at our smaller theater, where we would debut the work of local writers and produce that with the community theaters in that space. So where the expectation is that, you know, this is new and it's a bit of an experiment, I think that's appropriate. We just don't want anyone to think, if they're coming to one of our shows, you know, we want them to understand what they're getting.
Right. So I know that you're just sort of regenerating this whole thing right now, and I know that you're new doing it, so you may be trying to think of things that may not have been done before, and it's going to take some time to get this all up and operating the way you'd like it to be. But what are some of your hopes and dreams? What do you hope for this theater to look like 5 years from now?
I'd like to see people in it. We're already started. I got to say, I want to talk positively about that. We started with the flyer went out, and people have been coming out, and the audiences have been steady and growing, and we got a lot of encouragement from folks. But I think my goal is for people to think of the theater, the Todd Center at the college, as a community space that they are welcome to, and for the community to be using it that way, as a space that they can go and explore and perform and engage, and a place that you can send your suggestions. Hey, wouldn't it be cool if you were doing this? I want it to be, I mean, I guess I don't see it as a place where we figured it out. This is the kind of thing we do. Now we're done. I want it to be a kind of place that is always evolving and changing with the tastes of the shore and the times and responding, and that is a living, breathing entity, not something that ever gets fixed or frozen in time, and that the community embraces it that way. I want it to be a community space first and foremost.
Wow, it sounds great, and I really hope that you get it to that point. And I think it's just great that the students that you have that are actors or writers or any aspect of performing arts have a space that they can go to, and that they can perform in there. And it's amazing to me that, again, I'm thinking 900 seats. That's a big theater. I haven't been there yet, and I do need to take a trip there just to see it, even if there's nothing going on one day. I'd love to come and just see it and take a look at it, and it sounds wonderful, because every time I speak to somebody about what's going on at the Chesapeake College, they're talking about something more and more incredible. I mean, I talked to somebody about the nursing class one day, and you have like an entire OR set up there. And yes, it's just amazing that whatever I talk to, you know, the automotive department has a, you know, fully functioning repair shop. Right. It just seems like I can't imagine how you stuffed all of these things into one small parcel of land, but somehow you've made it work.
Yeah, they make do with a little, that's for sure. We do, I should say. We are a small college, but we make the most of what we've got.
All right, Rob, I want to really thank you for being my guest this morning. That was a fascinating insight into what's going on at the college and at the Todd Center. Thanks so much for being here. I'd also like to thank my sponsors, Heron Point, Chester River Pharmacy, Compass Regional Hospice, and Prince Limousine. This is 106.9 WCTR. And it's Sunday morning. You've been listening to My Generation.